بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the opening verses of the 11th juz which was recited tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that when it comes to the disbelievers during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they were divided into two categories. On one hand, we had those who were the city dwellers, the educated, the literate, the so-called civilized people of the time. And on the other hand, you had those who are known as the A'rab, the village dwellers, those who are uncivilized, generally illiterate, uneducated. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufran wa nifaqa, that these Bedouins, uncivilized people, due to their lack of knowledge and them not knowing the do's and don'ts of society and them not having correct understanding in many matters and affairs, you will find them to be ashaddu kufran wa nifaqa. When it comes to their disbelief, their hypocrisy, you will find them to be very severe, very firm on what they believe. Wa ajdaru alla ya'lamu hudud ma anzalallahu ala rasulihi. And you will find that most of the time they will not understand, they will not know where to draw the line as far as the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned. And therefore we understand from this, respected brothers and elders, that when it comes to progress, when it comes to civilization, when it comes to a person's education, then the goal, the objective is that this should lead a person to the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Education, progress, modernization, if it does not lead a person to recognize the limits of Allah, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is not really called progress or education. Nevertheless, Allah then further explains regarding these Bedouins, these village dwellers, that amongst them also there are a further two groups and categories. Allah says, وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرُ. From amongst these Bedouins, there are those people who regard that which they have to spend in the path of Allah when it comes to zakat, when it comes to charity, when it comes to spending in some campaign of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they regard it as maghraman, as a great burden, as an unnecessary expense in their lives. وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرُ. And they are merely waiting for some ill fortune to befall Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, something must happen to him, he must fall ill, and he must leave this world, and then we won't have to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the outcome of these people, Allah says, عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ. The turn of fortune, ill fortune, and ill fate will befall them. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah hears that which they say. Allah is knowledgeable of what they are thinking and feeling. So these people, despite them spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are discharging their zakat, they are doing what they have to do, yet their mindset and their understanding is that this is a burden. The second group of these Bedouins, Allah says, وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They are those who believe in Allah in the last day. They have firm iman. وَيَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَصَلَوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ. And that which they have to spend in the path of Allah, zakat, charity, any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is put in front of them, then they understand this to be a means of them getting closer to Allah. وَصَلَوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ. And this is a means of us earning the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are also doing the same thing. They are spending in the path of Allah. They are fulfilling the command of Allah. But the change in mindset, they understand that this is something that is beneficial to me. So their outcome, Allah says, أَلَا إِنَّهَا قُرْبَةٌ لَهُمْ. Their action of spending in the path of Allah will be a means of them gaining the closeness of Allah. And not only this, Allah then further says, سَيُدْخِلُهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. Allah will admit them into His special mercy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. In other words, just a simple change in mindset. All of us, alhamdulillah, we are performing our salah. We are fasting during the day. Various other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may be carrying out. But just that shift in mindset, a person should not regard it to be a burden or something that is too difficult, something that I wish I did not have to do. Rather embrace it, understand that this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is testing me. Allah is asking me to do these actions so that I may gain closeness to Him. And Allah's guarantee, سَيُدْخِلُهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِ. Allah will admit a person into His special mercy. Moving on, Allah then speaks about a particular masjid or a structure that was put up in Madinah Munawwara. And the incident behind this is that there was an individual in Madinah Munawwara. He belonged to the Khazraj tribe. And this person, his name was Abu Amir. And prior to the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had embraced the religion of Christianity. And Abu Amir was known as a very devout, obedient Christian. He would devote himself to the worship of Allah. And he was known as a very prominent member of society. However, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah Munawwara, he realized that the deen of Islam was now spreading. And of course, all honor, all status, position had gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Abu Amir, because of his desire for status, for leadership, he began to develop enmity and hatred for Islam and the Muslims. And after the Battle of Badr, when he realized that Islam is now going to spread even faster, he then left Medina Munawwara and he goes to Makkah Mukarrama and he joins forces with the Quraysh, with the Meccan army. And the same person was then very instrumental in the Battle of Uhud, fighting alongside the Meccan army against the Muslims. But nevertheless, he then approaches a few people of Medina Munawwara who he had known prior to leaving. And these were munafiqeen, hypocrites. On the outside, they seemed to be Muslims, but they didn't have true iman within their hearts. So he says to them that, I want you to find a plot of land and build a structure. We'll call it a masjid. But this so-called masjid will be our military base. And he thereafter explains to them that he is going to travel to the king of Rome. And he is going to seek reinforcements, some weaponry, perhaps some soldiers. And this masjid will become a base. And they will then fight Islam and the Muslims from here. So this masjid is then constructed. And these hypocrites, who outwardly were Muslims, come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They request him to perform salah in the masjid. And they say to him that your coming and your performing of salah will be a means of barakah, a means of blessings for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point in time is preparing for the expedition of Tabuk. So he politely declines. He says to them that on my return, if there is a chance, then I will come to your masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals these verses, telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are forbidden from performing salah in this masjid. And Allah then mentions four qualities or four objectives that these people had built and constructed this masjid with. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا. The first objective, these people built or constructed this masjid ضِرَارًا, to cause harm. Their intention was not to cause unity or to benefit the Muslims, it was simply to cause harm. وَكُفْرًا. And they built it on the basis of disbelief, not on the basis of iman and faith. وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the intention was purely to cause disunity amongst the Sahaba. وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And as a post, as a military base for those who would wage war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these four qualities we can understand that when it comes to a true masjid, a true house of Allah, then we should have the opposite qualities. Instead of diraran, it should be that a masjid is a place of benefit. It serves to benefit the Muslim ummah. Instead of kufr, it should be built on the foundation of iman. There should be no disunity. Any Islamic organization, masjid, madrasa, any place of deen should not be a cause of disunity amongst the ummah. It should be a cause of uniting the ummah. وَإِرْصَادًا. And it should form a base, a place where the Muslims can come to in their times of need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this masjid. And thereafter Allah says, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. That, O Nabi of Allah, don't ever stand in this masjid. Don't ever perform salah here. Rather, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. That masjid which was built on the foundation of taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a masjid which is more deserving of your presence. Some Mufassirin explain that this refers to Masjid al-Quba, which was the first masjid built by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Munawwara. Others are of the opinion that it refers to Masjid al-Nabawi itself. Nevertheless, these are the qualities that a true masjid, a true house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have. And thereafter, and we'll end on this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that after the demise of Abu Talib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, was very grieved. This was his uncle who had supported him, assisted him. And therefore, he would make a lot of dua of maghfirat, forgiveness for his uncle who had left this world on kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and advises him that مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. It is not appropriate, it is not correct for the Nabi and for the believers to seek forgiveness for those who die without iman. And this we find, my respected brothers and elders, living in a Muslim minority country. Many a times we may have relationships with people who do not have iman. Perhaps they are working for us, working with us, our colleagues, our neighbors. And sometimes these people have very good and noble qualities within them. They are generous, they are kind, they are very good people at heart. And therefore we find it very difficult to reconcile this with our aqidah, our belief, that a person who leaves this world without iman will be in the fire of Jahannam. It is a very bitter pill to swallow, something that we cannot really understand and accept and appreciate. The ulama of aqidah have explained, and this perhaps will help us to understand, that they have given an example that if you have a country and the ruler or the ruling party of the country, and there are various citizens in that country, so you may have those citizens who do not really uphold the law. They break the law all the time. They are always breaking the speed limit. They are littering on the roads. They don't pay their taxes on time. They are not really known as good citizens. Yet when it comes to election time, then they support the ruling party. They always praise the king or the leader or the president, and they don't try to oppose him or to vote for the opposition party. So you find that although they are breaking the law on numerous occasions, the leader, when it comes to crunch time, he will want these people in his camp. He understands that these are my supporters, because they are not creating disunity in the country. On the other hand, you have those citizens who may be model citizens. They don't break the law. They pay their taxes on time. They drive according to the speed limit. And they fulfill all the laws of the country. But when it comes to election time, they vote for the opposition party. They speak against the leader, against the president. So you find if these people have to be caught, then they will be imprisoned for a very long time. Although they are upholding the law of the country, yet by supporting the opposition, they are going to cause great disunity. They are going to cause a great amount of problems and difficulty in the country. In the same way, the ulama of aqidah explain that although you may have a Muslim who does not fulfill the commands of Allah, he is a weak Muslim, he makes mistakes, he makes errors, yet he believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He accepts Allah to be supreme, to be the leader. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this from the person. On the other hand, you have a disbeliever. He may be a noble person. He may be very generous, very kind. Yet he has committed the greatest sin, and he is rebelling against the leader of all leaders. For this reason, in the hereafter, he will not be rewarded. And very quickly, ulama explain that Allah is very just. Allah is very fair. Any good deed that a person does will not go unrewarded. The difference is that person who does not have iman and he carries out good deeds in this world, Allah will reward him in his worldly life. Either Allah will give him some wealth, some status, some power. Allah will remove some evil, some calamity from him. But Allah will repay him in this world. But in the hereafter, the shart, the precondition for the acceptance of good deeds and for the rewarding of good deeds is a person has to have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. وآخر دعوانا.